Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater, and that's Austin Slater. It's actually just me today. Dan's not here. He's on vacation. We hope he's having a good time. But today's going to look a little different. This is obviously not something we normally do like this. But I forgot last week that Dan was going on vacation this week. So I didn't do any of our housekeeping stuff. So I do apologize for that. And I hope you'll bear with me for just a little bit. To get the housekeeping portion out of the way, this is going to be our last Deeper Podcast until August 6th. Because as soon as Dan gets back from his vacation at the end of, or before this next Sunday, I leave. and I'm going back to Africa for a few weeks, and I will be back end of July. So we're going to just start up like normal August 6th. That will be resuming with Deeper as normal in the format you're used to, which is just this audio. But we will also in September be adding a video component as well. So you'll all be able to watch on YouTube. You'll be able to share clips. We'll have posts going up on social media. It's going to be a really exciting new expansion of what we've been doing. We're really excited for it. We hope you are too. And with that, we're going to be exploring a few more varied formats, kind of as we've hinted at earlier in various episodes. So if you have any topics you'd like to hear us discuss, any questions you have, any, you know, big issues you'd like us to try and address, we'd love to hear from you on those. We'd love to deal with those. So, yeah, feel free to send those our way. And then my email, as always, is aslater@friendshipcrc.org. Would love to have those. Now that the housekeeping portion is out of the way, I know you all tune in for some spiritual growth instead of just business and certainly instead of just listening to me monologue. And since I truthfully forgot Dan was going to be gone, I don't want to leave you guys with nothing this week. So I would like to share with you something that I heard just yesterday. My daily devotional topic that I was reading and listening to dealt incredibly closely with a lot of the themes that we've been discussing here on the Deeper Podcast lately. Specifically, it was speaking more in detail about ways that we as Christians often will give up the methods and ways of Christ and instead use the tools and systems of the world to accomplish God's will. It's a really interesting segment, and although it addresses some specific groups and terms that we haven't spent a ton of time discussing much on this podcast, it's well worth listening to and can really easily be extrapolated into so many other areas of our faith lives. So this is going to be the July 1st audio excerpt from Sky Gittani's With God Daily devotional series, which he advertises as the daily devotional for people who hate daily devotionals. And as someone who does not generally like daily devotionals, I love these daily devotionals. So I'd highly recommend you guys go and check it out. It's got some really incredible stuff. I've grown immensely through it. We just finished up a series on miracles and what we can learn in modern context about miracles, what different miracles may have meant with different cultural understandings. There's just a lot to learn and benefit from. So I, again, highly recommend you go and check that out. Going to give you just a brief little blurb about him, just so you know who you're listening to, because I always think it's important to know who you're listening to before you take in anything. And then I will play that audio. But yeah, looking forward to it. So an award-winning author, speaker, and the co-host of the Holy Post podcast, which I, as Austin, highly recommend you all check out, Sky has written more than a dozen books and served as an editor and executive at Christianity Today for more than a decade. Raised in a religiously and ethnically diverse family, his curiosity about the faith led him to study comparative religion before entering seminary and pastoral ministry. With a really unique ability to connect Christian thought and contemporary culture, his voice has been featured in the New York Times, USA Today, and the Washington Post, and he's spoken to audiences throughout the world. His most recent book, What If Jesus Was Serious About Justice, examines a biblical understanding of justice as the restoration of right relationship both among people and between people and God. So I hope you guys enjoy this. May you be blessed and go in peace, knowing that Dan and I are really excited to join back together with you next August.
The Chicago Way or the Kingdom Way? The 1987 film, The Untouchables is about the FBI's mission to take down the notorious mobster Al Capone. One of the most memorable lines was delivered by veteran Chicago cop Jim Malone, played by Sean Connery. Speaking to the young, naive FBI agent, Malone says, quote, "You want to know how to get Capone? They pull a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way." End quote. The worldly wisdom of the Chicago way applies beyond the realm of cops and robbers. It's the belief that the only way to win is by playing the world's game by the world's rules and doing it better than anyone else. This is an ever-present temptation for Christians. We see it among Jesus' disciples in the Gospels and throughout the history of the church. Very subtly and often imperceptibly, we find ourselves believing that the best way to accomplish Jesus' mission and the only way to overcome his enemies is by employing the very same methods used by the world. Of course, we justify our adoption of the Chicago way by telling ourselves that our goals are godly and our motives are pure. This is precisely the lie that's fueling the current rise of Christian nationalism. Advocates of Christian nationalism want to advance God's kingdom by using political, cultural, and if necessary, military force to overpower their opponents. Seeking a biblical argument for their tactics, there are a few texts Christian nationalists will often cite. One of them is Luke 22:26, where Jesus instructed his disciples to buy a sword if they didn't have one. This verse, they say, is proof that Jesus intended for his followers to use force to defend themselves. He understood that sometimes Christians must use the world's weapons to achieve godly goals. We shouldn't be surprised to discover that this interpretation, however popular it may be among Christian nationalists, is completely bogus. Jesus was not affirming the Chicago way. He did not endorse the notion that his followers should use coercion, aggression, or brute force to defeat their enemies. In fact, a closer examination of the verse in its context reveals precisely the opposite. New Testament scholars offer two plausible interpretations of Jesus' instruction to buy swords. Some say Jesus was setting the stage for his arrest, conviction, and execution. Immediately after telling the disciples to buy weapons, Jesus quotes Isaiah 53, a prophetic passage about the Messiah's substitutionary death, quote, "and he will be numbered among the transgressors," end quote. The swords could be used as evidence against Jesus that he intended to lead an armed revolt against the Jewish and Roman authorities, a clear violation of the law and punishable by death. In this interpretation, the swords were props used by Jesus to ensure his crucifixion and were never intended to be used by his followers, nor a justification for Christian violence. The second view, in my opinion, is even stronger. Jesus began in verse 35 by reminding his followers how earlier he sent them to preach throughout Judea with no supplies and how they lacked nothing. That's because Jesus was popular among the people, and as they traveled from village to village, his disciples were warmly welcomed and people gladly provided for all of their needs. But now, just before his arrest and crucifixion, things had changed. Jesus was no longer celebrated, but despised. He was, quote, "numbered among the transgressors," end quote. And his disciples could no longer count on being welcomed, fed, and provisioned by people. Speaking metaphorically about their new status as outcasts, Jesus said they would now have to bring their own common travel supplies, a purse, bag, cloak, and sword. Once again being blockheads, unable to grasp Jesus' meaning, the disciples took his words about buying swords literally. Quote, "See, Lord, here are two swords," end quote, they said. Utterly frustrated at his disciples' inability to understand things, Jesus replied, quote, "That's enough," end quote, Luke 22:38. In this interpretation, Jesus was rolling his eyes at the stupidity of the disciples and saying, "Forget about it," or "Never mind." One can imagine him doing the same thing when modern Christians misapply his words to justify their use of deadly weapons, political coercion, and deceit. Whichever interpretation you find more persuasive, any argument that Jesus intended his followers to use the world's tactics is dismantled just a few verses later when he rebuked his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane for using violence, and instead miraculously healed his enemy. This is what Christian nationalists get wrong. They are trying to achieve kingdom goals, using the Chicago way. They believe lies, force, and coercion, which epitomize the world's kingdoms, can somehow produce faith, hope, and love, the marks of God's kingdom. And they cherry-pick verses out of context, like Luke 22:36, to disguise their lust for worldly power with a veil of religion. But when Christians try to achieve godly ends using the world's ways, as Peter did when he attacked the guard with his sword, we only inflict far more harm to others and bring shame upon the name of Christ. We so quickly forget that before Jesus healed the evil done by the world on the cross, he started by healing the evil done by his own disciples in the garden. Luke 22:35-53. Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandal, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That's enough," he replied. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this," and he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion, that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour, when darkness reigns." The weekly prayer comes from Brother Lawrence. My God, you are always close to me. In obedience to you, I must now apply myself to outward things. Yet as I do so, I pray that you will give me the grace of your presence. And to this end, I ask that you will assist my work, receiving its fruits as an offering to you, and all the while direct all my affections to you. Amen.